This is Matt Wells at UN News. The way to bridge the widening development gap is through targeted interventions and the adoption of policies that address inequalities within countries themselves with the support of the international community, argues Salim Jahan of the UN Development Programme, or UNDP, who directs the office which compiled the Human Development Index, or HDI, data revealed on Friday. In an interview with UN News, Mr. Jahan noted the importance of gender inequalities and women's empowerment to overcome the worrying differences between the lives and opportunities of women and men across the world. Mr. Jahan outlined the key findings of the report to Fatima E. Mendes.
I think the major findings of this update are fivefold. First, impressive progress has taken place on many fronts of human development, but there are deprivations and there are inequalities there. The second, we have tried to indicate that human development achieved doesn't mean human development guaranteed. There have been reversals in human development because of different factors, shocks, vulnerabilities, conflicts, and so on and so forth. The third finding is that the quality of human development is as important as quantity of human development. So in quantitative terms, you may achieve a lot, but the quality of that kind of achievements may make things not so good for people. Fourth, we have found that there are inequalities between countries, among regions, within countries. And because of those inequalities, people do not have the same kind of access either to opportunities or their outcomes are not the same. And one particular aspect of it is the whole question of gender inequality, which we have highlighted in the report. And the measures that we have seen that women, even on many fronts, are doing better. But overall, there is a gap between the achievements of men and women. And the final point that we have indicated in the report is that environment is a development issue. Climate change is very much related to human development. And if there are environmental degradation and if there are severe impacts of climate change, that may affect human development adversely.
What countries have experienced the greatest setback this year?
I think we looked at the setback or looked at the whole question of progress from a little bit of a longer perspective, because the way the Human Development Index is constructed, most of the indicators are stock indicators. They don't change very rapidly, like life expectancy. So when we looked at the different countries during a period of 2012 and 2017, Ireland has jumped 13 ranks. Countries like Turkey has jumped, for example, 8 ranks. So those are some of the countries which have actually improved a lot in terms of ranks. When we looked at the declines that you have alluded to, countries in conflict have lost ranks. For example, Syria has lost 27 ranks between 2012 and 2017, Libya 26 ranks, and Yemen 20 ranks. So those are some of the countries which have made the greatest strides as well as the steepest declines.
Why are inequalities worsening?
Inequalities, when you talk about inequalities, I mean, we sometimes use it generically, but there can be inequalities of income, there can be inequalities of achievement of human development, there can be inequalities in life expectancy, there can be inequalities in education. The whole report in terms of the 2018 updates looks at both inequalities in terms of opportunities and inequalities in terms of what we call the outcomes. One of the inequalities that we have highlighted is the whole issue of gender inequality. I mean, when you compare the Human Development Index of men and women, overall, globally, the HDI of women is 6% lower than that of men. If you go to South Asia, it is 16%. So therefore, I think the gender inequality is very much there, and we have highlighted that. We also have highlighted the kind of the inequalities in terms of human development achievements. The life expectancy, for example, in the very high human development categories is 19 years more than the life expectancy in low human development categories. The people in very high human development countries, they have an education level or education achievement or schooling 7 years more than in the low human development categories. If I think of countries, for example, the life expectancy in Japan is 84 years. The life expectancy in Sierra Leone is 52 years. The mean years of schooling or average years of schooling in Germany is 14 years. The average schooling For example, in Burkina Faso, is 2 years. So these are some of the inequalities that we are seeing within the country or among the countries there. So it covers income. It also covers other aspects of human development.
Can you tell us more about the inequality within countries and how this affects the country's overall human development index?
The inequalities within countries, there is urban-rural inequalities. There are also inequalities, for example, in terms of different ethnic groups. If we take examples of different ethnicity in a country like Nepal, the Brahmin and Chhatris, they have a life expectancy of 69 years, whereas for the scheduled caste and others, it is 52 years. So definitely the inequalities are there in terms of the achievement of life expectancy. When we looked at the schooling, we have also found that the indigenous children are not getting the same kind of schooling like the rest of it. And this kind of differences are not only particular to developing countries. It's also very much in developed countries. And in developed countries, there are income inequalities between the top 20% and the bottom 20%. The kind of the quality of education that some parts of that country get and other parts, they are also different. So I think in a way, what we call inequalities within countries, in some countries it is also growing in many aspects of it. But in some countries, they are either constant or they are also reducing.
The report notes the difference in life expectancy. You spoke about that. What are the reasons for this difference? What are the factors that affect life expectancy?
I think the life expectancy has increased in many countries or all over the world, for example, for various reasons. One is the whole question of the access to basic social services. Today, 88% of global population, they have access to improved drinking water, which has had an impact on different diseases, like diarrhea, for example. The basic sanitation facilities is now 67% globally. So the access of people to different kinds of social services has improved the life expectancy of people. Second, I think, is the development in medical science. There are now different drugs, there are now different treatments, which actually has increased the life expectancy of people. I mean, the whole invention of antibiotics, for example, in 1944-45, the kind of the medication we now have for HIV, and those have made an impact on the life expectancy of people. And third, I think people's awareness about the quality of life. People are now more aware of their lifestyle, not only in developed countries, but also in developing countries. To take in together all these things, I think those have actually contributed to the improved life expectancy that we are seeing, not only in the developed world, but also in developing world. I mean, in the world today, people are living 7 years longer than compared to 1990. And in sub-Saharan Africa, people are living on average 11 years longer than compared to 1990. And that's quite an achievement.
The report discusses the important role of environmental degradation and climate change. Can you tell us more about that?
I think for me, the environment and the climate change are not only environmental issues, they are development issues. And when we look at the whole question of the climate change, the projection has been that if we don't tackle climate change today, there will be 100 million additional people who would be in extreme poverty by 2030. And that's a large number. And the climate change is going to affect human development a number of ways. Number one, that it is going to affect agriculture. If we have desertification, if we have deforestation, if we have salinization, those are going to affect, for example, the agriculture there. And 2.5 billion people in the world live on what we call the ecologically fragile land. So climate change will have an impact on small countries like Maldives, which is sinking, and also poorer people who actually take the unequal brunt of the climate change there. Secondly, climate change will also have an impact on health. I mean, the scientists are saying that there will be new diseases, there will be health risks there, and that will have an impact on human development also. So if we don't deal with those kind of the climate change, there will be more deprivations, there will be more poverty, there will be lack of choices for people, there will be worse health, and those things will ultimately will impact human development and the measures of human development, like the Human Development Index.
What can be done to close the development gap between countries and within countries?
In order to close the development gap, definitely some of the countries would need a lot of support from the international community. I mean, they can't do it on their own. So therefore, the whole question of the development assistance to those countries will have to be increased. Of course, there are countries who can mobilize their resources there. Second, in the area of trade and, for example, foreign direct investment, there should be more opportunities for poorer countries. I mean, the trade is still very much biased in favor of developed countries. I think that needs to be changed there. And if I may say there should be more movement of people, because this is human capital. And I think countries should have more understanding, more discussions about how we can actually use the human capital of the whole world for the benefit of the world. So these are some of the measures that you can take to close the gap between countries. Now, if we come to within countries, for example, that you have said, I think one of the ways of closing the gap would be to actually go for inclusive growth. The growth still has a urban bias, affluence bias. If we try to have inclusive growth, which means the creating jobs where poor people live. Poor people are mostly in rural areas and in agriculture. So the increasing the agricultural productivity, going for non-agricultural activities there would actually help poor people get jobs and livelihood and income. So that's one thing. And the second thing is that there has to be more resource allocations to provide basic social services to poor communities, because that would also help them enhance their capabilities. And once they enhance their capabilities, they can actually compete with the rest of the population on a equal basis. Third, I think gender equality is important. I mean, we have to invest more in women and girls. If you ask me what is the one particular area where there should be more investment, this is the area, because the multiplier effect of it and the different kind of impacts of investing in women and girls is multifaceted. If you invest in women or girls, you also get educated mothers, which have impact on children's or the next future generations. I think there has to be more equitable tax burden and kind of the allocation for poorer people there. So these are some of the aspects which need to be dealt with in reducing the inequality. And finally, I think there has to be targeted interventions for specific groups of people who are disadvantaged, people with disabilities, for example, indigenous people, certain groups within the country which are not getting the same kind of opportunities like others. So targeted intervention, overall policies, those combined together can actually help reducing inequalities within countries.